Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, and that'll be found on Pew Bible page 601. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. For I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the servant, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John's gospel, John 20, verses 1 through 18. Listen to the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this Easter Sunday, we thank you. Not just for your word that lights our paths and guides us, but we thank you for the resurrection of our Lord. Lord, on this day, we ask that your word would light our path and guide our hearts. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts this day, that we would be led out to go and be, to go and do, to go and serve. Be with us as we go forth this day to celebrations, perhaps even to grieving a little, but as we go forth into this world, help us to have the joy of the resurrection as we go forth. In your name we pray. Amen. He is risen. All right, you're back in the swing of things. That's been your spring training, right? That's the pronouncement we say today, and we get louder and louder, or we get annoyed with the minister. The breath we have held since Friday, since Good Friday, is now finally let out. We can breathe. We can have a little less stress. The release has come. Has any one of us been actually holding our breath since Good Friday? If you have, I can call the fire department. They already had 3 calls. Why not be the 4th? But thanks to Christ, today is remembrance of that day, of waiting and having your waiting relieved. The difficulty is that as we enter in today, into this moment, we're on the other side of it. We've seen what happens. I want you to think about one of those home improvement shows or a baking show. Recently, our family has really gotten into the show, Is It Cake? The big thing is you bake a cake, and the key is that this cake will look like something that it's not. It'll be a bowling ball or a sewing machine, but in fact, it's really a cake. The whole premise of the show is to fool a panel of judges who are trying to figure out whether it's a conch shell or a cake. And some of these things do a great job as it builds the tension, and you look out and you're guessing, is it cake 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Or is it podium 1, 2, 3, or 5? There's this moment where the judges pick and the host walks over to the cake and either taps it with a knife as they can't cut it, or all of a sudden the knife goes in easy as pie. Or think about one of those home improvement shows we watch. The homeowners are waiting with trepidation as they're waiting to see the RV roll away or the old picture of the house get pulled back. And there is this newly revealed improved home. See, we don't allow ourselves to have the big reveal today. We don't understand that this moment, as Mary goes to the tomb, as the stone is rolled away, as the disciples sprint, although apparently Peter runs like me, a little slow of foot, there's this moment where all of a sudden the resurrection is revealed. There's this big moment, but is it that big of a moment for us in our 21st century world that it would have been for Mary, for Peter, and the disciple that Jesus loved? Think of that moment in a TV show we watch where Chip and Joanna Gaines peel away that picture, and there's that reveal, and the homeowners get full of emotion and joy. Think about that. Do we enter into joy as the kids do when they come downstairs and either have to look for or find their Easter baskets? Do we hit that level of joy today? Or is it, hey, it's Easter, got 20 people coming over in about an hour and a half, and got to get to the early service so that I can manage to. Do we have that element of trepidation where our hearts and stomachs are in our throat as we wait for the reveal, for the reveal of the tomb being opened, the stone being rolled away? You know, there's no moment where all of a sudden Mary goes, "Roll that stone!" And it, you know, there's no reveal like that. And that's the difficulty for us to enter into this moment, because we enter it as a normal flat surface. We enter into it in our own platform. And the reality is, we don't often delve into the depth of where the people in this moment of scripture are. You see the level of turmoil that the disciples are in. When Jesus is captured, only one of them sticks around and follows, and he doesn't exactly have the greatest moments. Three times he denies, and then he hits the road running and hides. The disciples are scattered, hidden, hiding. They are fearful of what's going to happen. They are so lost in the moment of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, that they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know that the big reveal is coming. There's no real moment that we can see how low they've gotten. And that's the hard part, because we have experienced Easter from one level, and yet we don't understand the trauma that the disciples and Jesus' followers have experienced. The best explanation I can think of is, think of a hole. Just a hole in the ground. You know, if you walk over to the hole and see somebody jump out, there's an appreciation of the athletic ability that it takes to get out of the hole. But when you look at that hole, you look at the depth of the hole, how high they leapt to get out of the hole, and understand that it took a little more effort than just jumping off a log. There's that element of understanding where things are, where things were. We need to understand how low the people of our scriptures are on Good Friday. How low things were for them as this moment happens. You know, if I were to jump, that's not a great jump. But if I get a running start, and I won't do it, and I manage to get a good leap, that's a jump. But if I tell you, "Oh, I jumped 12 inches," you're like, but if I'm in a hole and I manage to get up out of that hole and go 12 inches, you're like, that was a pretty big deal. And what Jesus has done is the equivalent of that. Because all of a sudden, the people of God have been laid low. Low, so low. And now the tomb is empty. Christ is risen, and all the relief has come. After two pandemic Easters, we kind of feel a little release, don't we? There's this joy as we look around one another in the post or almost post, whatever we're in now, part of this, where we see one another. Not on Zoom. Sorry, folks who are on Zoom. We love you. But there's this moment where we're here and the tension is released. We're not sequestered in our homes. We are here. There's this release. This week, if you saw me in a building, I had my mask on all week, and somebody looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, no, this week we are going to have a normal Easter. No matter if it makes me look like a fool with a mask everywhere. And guess what? We got it. The fact is, this little bit of release that we feel gives us a taste, you know, just a tiny little bit of cake, just a taste. As my great-grandfather used to do, he would walk past the cake great-grandma had built, and he'd just run his finger along the icing, so much so that she would ridge it, so that he walked past the cake a lot. The fact is, there's this release in this moment that we need to understand and appreciate. But there's also a communal aspect to this release, to the trauma and to the release. The disciples were together. They were together in their grief and loss of Christ. When he went to the cross, the whole body of believers hurt. That whole body of believers felt that pain. And when they find out that he has risen, keep you on your toes. The fact is, the whole body of believers in that moment felt that release together. Not just one person felt it, but they all felt it. Today is not just a day where we individually feel that release of tension within us, the joy of that. But we feel that together, all of us together. When Mary encounters the empty tomb, when she runs to the disciples and tells them, it all is about being together and sharing. Today is an exhausting day. And we don't have to cook dinner for 20 people or gather together with 40 people to have it be a very tiring day. Because if we do it right, we travel all that way from Good Friday, from the bottom of that hole to here and now. And the joy that Christ is risen. You guys are working on it. Today is about celebrating that our Lord died, that he rose from the dead for us. And now I'll do my Price is Right moment of, but wait, there's more. Because not only does Christ rise from the dead, in doing so, he breaks the bonds of death for us, for all of us, me and you and all of us. When we continue to appreciate today, we appreciate that all Christ has done in this moment as we gather together. Maundy Thursday dovetails with Passover. And as you celebrate Passover, there's a phrase in which you learn called Dayenu. It would have been enough. And you think about all that Christ has done, all that Christ continues to do for us. And you just want to shout out, Dayenu. Every time, every moment it happens, Dayenu. He just keeps on living and working with and for us. So brothers and sisters, as we gather together, as we celebrate today, let us remember the depths of which Christ has brought us, the joy of the moment that we are here in. And remember the joy of telling others and sharing that. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Oh, you saved the best for last. Let us go forth in the joy of the resurrection today. Amen.